welcome to the program. I'm coming to you from the cold but sunny suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. Follow some of the interesting links usually associated with or somewhat compatible with the ideas of the guest for that day. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of numerous books, including Bloody Dawn, the story of the Lawrence Massacre, which was published in 1992, Black Flag, Guerrilla Warfare on the Western Border, 1861 to 1865, a riveting account of a bloody chapter in Civil War history, that was published in 1999, The Day Dixie Died, The Occupied South, 1865 to 1866, came out in 2001. Scalp Dance, Indian Warfare on the High Plains, 1865 to 1879, came out in 2002. The Darkest Dawn, Lincoln, Booth, and the Great American Tragedy, came out in 2006. And his last one, or latest one, is Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 to 1947, came out in 2010. Thomas, welcome to the program.
Hey, Deanna. My pleasure being with you again.
Well, it's a pleasure for us to have you back on the program. And you're going to talk about a couple of different books today, Scalp Dance. And it's not quite what we pictured when we saw the movie Dances with Wolves. That's not quite how things really happened, correct?
That's a safe assumption. No, it's not like any of us grew up with. It's not like any movie that we've seen portraying Indian War, Indian captives, things like that. It bears very small resemblance to the reality, quite honestly, the movies. And honestly, most of the books by the academics, most of these conveniently leave out a lot of unconvenient truths, let's put it that way. And back to my last book makes me sound like I'm already dead.
I know, I'm sorry. That's why I changed it to latest.
I actually had a book come out last summer. It was my first, maybe that will be my last, true crime book. It was on a lady who was, she was abducted, raped, and murdered. In fact, she was a cop's daughter, a young lady minding her own beeswax in her own home, nursing her children, actually cutting one of the children's hair, when she was abducted by this guy who had no priors, no rap sheet, no nothing. He just came out of the blue. And that was my latest book, and it's probably, as I mentioned, my last book on true crime.
Now, what was the name of that one?
It's called Toledo Blade, and Toledo Blade's an odd-sounding name, but that's the street where most of this occurred, Toledo Blade.
All righty, we're going to take a real quick break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to SantaBarbaraBells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of numerous books, including the one that he just brought to our attention called Toledo Blade, The True Story of the Abduction, Rape, and Murder of a Cop's Daughter. And this came out in 2012. And amazing. She was a young woman, married at 18, a mother at 19. What a horrible thing.
I did all the interviews, of course, with her mom and dad, and actually did interviews with the murderer's girlfriend, his live-in wife, other people too, of course, and it becomes very personal to you as a writer. Anybody out there who's written anything knows what I'm talking about when I say that you become a part of your story. You read it so many times, you reread it, you go through it looking for errors, and by that, just by rote alone, you become invested in the story. And we cannot afford to be losing too many young women like Denise Amber Lee. She was the daughter we all dream of. She was the mother, maybe not of our, maybe not of the reality that we grew up with, but that's the kind of mom we would have wanted. She's the wife of everybody's dream. And at age 21, she was taken from us. We cannot afford to lose too many more people like that. The murderer is sitting on death row, and let's don't call it death row. Let's call it life row, because he's going to be up there for another 20 years, sitting up there at the taxpayer's expense. But it's a tragic story, and what can I say? It still has this area of Florida, the southwestern part of Florida, stunned, because if it can happen to a nursing mother in her own home in the middle of the afternoon, a cop's daughter, for crying out loud, then it can happen to any one of us. And that's what's so terrifying about the story.
Indeed. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And somebody just broke in. Did they know her beforehand? Or?
You know, the murderer isn't talking, and Denise was killed, so all we have are the two little children, and each one of them, of course, were in the crib. Nobody's talking about that. I think he must have seen her somewhere, but he's not saying. It boggles the imagination. It defies gravity to assume that he just coincidentally dropped in her to to her doorstep one afternoon and found the perfect girl of his imagination. He had always went for women who were pretty, had long straight hair, were thin, were young, and this Denise fit his profile perfectly. So I think he must have spotted her somewhere, somehow, and she didn't know it, of course. But we've had some terrible crimes down here in South Florida. I mean, a lot of it to do with children.
Go ahead.
Well, and yet this one just sort of grabs us by the jugular vein. We hate these beasts who prey upon our children, but this one it goes to a whole new level. It's horrible anytime it happens, but let's face it, when a drug addict is killed or some people who've had a history of spousal abuse or is murdered by a husband or the wife, we're groomed to that. We're accustomed to that, but not someone who's absolutely, totally innocent. She was a valedictorian of her high school class here in Southern Florida. She was meant for great things, but she really wanted to be a good mother and a good housewife and a good daughter and all the things that we grew up with that we wanted in a young woman. That's what she aspired to do, nothing more. Mm-hmm. And it just makes the father, of course, he's the cop. Her father is a sheriff here on the in the county where we live. And to this very day, I'm sure he dreams about locking an iron grip around the murderer's throat and just squeezing until his eyeballs pop out.
I'm sure a lot of people would feel the same way. Now, this happened in 2008, and this perpetrator was a 36-year-old person.
Yes. Yes, as I said, with no priors. Everything had come down upon him at this time, though. Let me say this. He was losing his home. He had just lost his girlfriend, the girlfriend that I did a lot of interviews with. There were other things that were happening in his life that weren't good. But look, it happens to all of us at some point in our life. We don't go out and murder the first person that comes in that we want like this. In other words, it may help us understand his mindset at the time, but it's not excusable. And by all accounts, he wasn't a bad guy at all. Maybe he lied a lot more than other folks. He certainly womanized, and he did some things. But he was never a violent person, and suddenly he's a murderer. And he wasn't the brightest bulb either. He had some of the lamest excuses. His alibis were, again, they defy gravity, the things he came up with. And here, I'll throw out one little other thing about this sad story. Denise, as being a cop's daughter, she was taught to never give up, and she never did give up. The guy took her out of her home in the middle of the afternoon, 2:30, took her back to his home, which was vacated. Of course, he was being forced out, and he spent the next hour raping her, vaginally, anally, orally, every way you can imagine, and then put her back in the car. And drove off. In fact, he drove around town for the next 2 or 3 hours with her in the back seat, blindfolded, tied up. But eventually, she got a hold of his cell phone, and somehow she managed to peg in 911 and actually got a hold of the dispatcher of the county, and told her that her name, told her that she didn't know where she was at, of course, didn't know the name of the guy. But still, that and the fact that once she realized that she wasn't coming home from this whole affair, when she put two and two together after he had stopped and actually picked up a shovel and a gas can and a flashlight at his cousin, Denise realized that she was not going to see her family alive again unless she did something very desperate. And from that point on, it became a real fight. She started screaming on busy Highway 41 that runs right through Northport where it all occurred. Started screaming, beating on the windows, and it was raining very softly that evening. But of all the folks that heard, only one, an intrepid lady from Tampa on her way to visit her grandma down at Fort Myers, saw this, heard this, pegged in 911 and made her own call, telling the folks there, the operators, that, hey, look, there's something very wrong with this picture here. It's a child who this lady incorrectly thought it was a child. But, boy, this child is really unhappy. And for the next 5 or 10 minutes, she kept the 911 call center apprised of what was going on as they went slowly down this highway. The lady wouldn't let the murderer, or the would-be murderer, passed. Finally, he ducked into traffic, but he took a real quick turn on Toledo Blade, the name of the book, of course, and lost her. But Denise, then, of course, then it the story really takes a terribly sad turn, because he's a notorious liar, and he lied to her. We even hear it on the 911 call. I have a transcript, by the way, in the back of the book. He takes her to a fairly remote place here in Northport, and she's begging to go, be let go, of course, go home and see her children, her husband, things she loves most in the world she's begging to go back to. And, of course, he said, excuse my French, but he says, no fucking problem. Just take off your clothes, get your clothes off. And then he drags her out of the car and puts her in front of the car on her knees, puts a gun to her head, and blows her brains out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And then, like I said, this guy was about as stupid a murderer as they'll ever make him. He buried her just a few paces beyond where he killed her. And then 5 minutes after he buried her, he was caught by the Florida Highway Patrol up on the interstate. And the lies he told, the ridiculous lies, I quote... Well, maybe I'm going way too far. Probably, you know, it's sort of like this. You should never tell the entire story. You know that thing about don't tell me how the movie ends?
Right.
So, but that's it in a nutshell. It's a horrible scenario that we're all getting far too accustomed to in this country. And then these rats have the nerve to try to disarm us in the face of stuff like this.
Indeed. Indeed.
Indeed.
Was her door was
They
her
have
door
their nerve. I've got to tell you that. They have their nerve. I own a gun. I'm going to keep a gun. My wife's got a gun. She carries a gun. And nobody's going to take it away from us. Sorry. They can put us in jail. They can kill us. But we're not giving them up.
Well, I have one, too. I just purchased it recently. And
they can talk all they want about it. They can just talk until their heads drop off. But
exactly.
That ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. But anyway... let's put it this way. If they want to take our guns away, first they clean up the Crime Act in this country. That's one place to start with.
Right.
Stop these wild murders. Again, that's another subject.
Right. Now, was her door locked? Did the guy break in? How did he?
No, he probably would have. No, the door was not. In fact, she had taken the precaution of locking her children in after he abducted her, to keep her kids safe until her husband got home in about an hour. But he probably, now here's something I haven't mentioned, it's lots of details and stories, but outside of this rented home that Denise and her husband and family were living in was a sign saying, for sale. Now, the killer, being booted out of his own home, may have at some point in the last few weeks stopped to see what the deal was on this home. That may have been how he saw Denise. And so this day, he probably, let's put it this way, this is probably what happened. He came to the home looking, wanting to look at it for a second time. Denise, of course, was a very a kind, trusting person, a very sweet person. She would have opened the door when he rang the bell and said, yeah, come on in, look around some more. And then after he sized up the situation, saw that it was just a woman at home, a very good-looking woman at home with her kids, no man in sight, that's when he probably made a move. Perhaps a suggestive comment, whatever.
Sure.
And then it went from there. I don't think there was ever a struggle because Denise, her children were everything to her. Her little kids, 1 2-year-old and a 6-month-old, were everything to her. She would have done like any mother bird would have done with her chicks. She would have tried to lead the cat away by saying, look, I'll come with you. Just don't hurt the kids.
Right. All righty. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, how will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher, and consultant who has shown people like you, people in 35 countries around the world, people who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival confident. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. GeoffLawton.org. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling, to help you help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Of numerous books, including a couple that he's going to talk to us about today, Scalp Dance, Indian Warfare on the High Plains, 1865 to 1879, came out in 2002, and The Darkest Dawn, Lincoln Booth and the Great American Tragedy, came out in 2006. Where do you want to start, given that the Lincoln movie has just been a really big thing?
Yeah, I don't care. In fact, Deanna, it's your show. You're a great host. Just go where you want. In fact, I have no problem talking about The Lethal Blade if people still have interest in that. But probably, yeah, you're right. Lincoln, it's a hot-button topic right now, I suppose. I have not seen the movie. I should tell everybody right now up front, I'm not a big fan of Steven Spielberg, and I doubt if he can get anything right, much less the facts of history. But I'm willing to talk about it, and anybody who has seen the movie, and good or bad, I hope they do call in and inform us on it. But I can just tell you what I know from my research of the book, and I don't just go with one source. Generally, I have three or four sources, so I can find the truth somewhere, no matter where, in the middle of all these sources I find. So it's best
right.
to do that when you're writing history. You know, Lincoln, I can say this. It's hard to get away from my childhood. I grew up loving Lincoln. Who wouldn't? I mean, he's from a log cabin. He's from the West. I'm a Westerner. I'm from Kansas, Missouri, places like that. And he's let's face it, he's homely, he's ugly. And our hearts, at least mine, goes out to the less fortunate in the world, the ugly, the dumb, the pathetic, the poor souls out there. And so Lincoln just sort of fits the bill for all that stuff. So when I started writing about Lincoln in my first book, The Day Dixie Died, and then more especially this book, The Darkest Dawn, it took a lot for me to get over certain things that I had grew up believing about Lincoln that simply weren't so. You know, I think of that silly Larson, Gary Larson cartoon. It shows this lady, a tour lady, with some tourists outside this enormous log cabin. I mean, it's like three or four stories. And her comment was, one of the greatest fallacies about Lincoln's childhood was that he grew up in a little log cabin. And here's this enormous... well, that's one of the things that endear us to Lincoln. Let's face it, he's on a penny, and he's on one of those dollar bills that I haven't seen in a long time. I'm not sure if it's a 5 or a 20. He's everywhere. And he was just voted the most beloved president for the bazillionth time here. And so you're really swimming against the current when you say anything negative about Lincoln, but there were plenty of things negative about Lincoln. Let me say that. A lot of things folks forget about Lincoln. One thing especially they forget about, they think how great he was and how he walks on water and how he's, even to this day, the most beloved American president. What they forget is that just hours before the Union won its victory against the Confederacy, Lincoln was also the most hated president in American history. Let's understand, first of all, that lots of things went down when Lincoln became president. First of all, the Constitution. He was not a unanimous choice by the Americans. Of course, in fact, he was a minority president, you might say. He had, I don't know where I want to go with this, but let me say this. He usurped the Constitution. That's one of the first things he did was start jailing people who were critical of not just the war, but himself and the Republican Party. Started jailing them. In fact, he shut down the entire legislature of Maryland just because they were not going along with everything the federal government was doing. The South, of course, hated him because he was forcing them back into the Union they didn't want to be a part of. What state would have joined this federation without the ability to get back out of it? Nobody joins a contract like that, saying I'm in it forever and ever, and if I decide I want out, then you're going to come down and kill me. I'm not going to get into that contract. So the South, of course, half the nation hated him down there. But a lot of Americans up in the northern part, they also despised him because, yes, it was unconstitutional in this war. Yes, people were imprisoned. The prisons in the United States, the northern half, that is, groaned with prisoners, political prisoners. I'm having these little slowdowns of the brain here this morning. I'm not sure what it was. Just got back from an exhausting bike ride. Maybe that's it. Lincoln locking people up. Basically closing down newspapers. If you were a Democratic newspaper, if that's your proclivity, if opposition to the Republicans was what you did and what your readers wanted, you could find yourself closed down, and many of them were closed down. That's a dictatorship, and the Americans understood it even better than we do today, unfortunately. We seem to just tolerate dictatorships. And before he was killed, before the victory, the military front had seemed like a meat grinder. Hundreds of thousands of boys sent to their death, and nothing appreciable seemed to happen. The South was still independent. But then came victory, and suddenly people realized that he had done it. He had done the thing he promised to do. He had brought the nation back as one. We can continue this after the break.
All right. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors with our guest today, Thomas Goodrich.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com. There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartAndBody.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Thomas Goodrich, and he's the author of many books. He's talking right now about The Darkest Dawn, Lincoln Booth, and the Great American Tragedy. And I think of the Great American Tragedy as being the Civil War to begin with, because he certainly had sufficient opportunity not to have a war. And I think he's a scoundrel of the worst kind. Although I grew up liking him the same as you did, he's nothing but a scoundrel, in my opinion, who caused the murder of 700,000 of his own fellow citizens, and he deserves our greatest scorn.
Funny thing about truth, I'm like yourself. It's bad enough when we are forced to discover forbidden truths on our own, but when we discover that we have been lied to by a mountain, or that a truth is being hidden under a mountain of lies, you know, that blowback is really double deadly, and we become very angry and militant when we find out that truth has been deliberately hidden from us. And Lincoln's a pretty good example, I got to say, even though it's hard for me, even to this very day. As I mentioned, I grew up loving the guy, but I think he was a total disaster for America. And let me just go reiterate what I said in the last segment. Lincoln usurped the Constitution. That's beyond debate. Usurped the Constitution. The arbitrary arrests without charges, these people are held in prisons without any charges for indefinite periods of time. These were not violent people. Many of them were just opponents of Lincoln and the Republican Party. Francis Scott Key's grandson was a fellow that Lincoln arrested, and guess where he was put in prison? Fort McHenry, the same place where his grandfather had watched as the bombs, you know, wrote the Star Spangled Banner. His grandson is locked in Fort McHenry. What is the irony of that? And let's face it, the State Department, the government back then, as it is today, was in the torture business. Torture, the screams from the walls of the State Department as people were being tortured to reveal facts. You know, I More and more, I wish the South had succeeded, at secession. I wish they had actually split away from this country. Could we be any worse off right now if there were two nations or 20 nations? I don't think so. I think we'd be better off, quite honestly. And so the whole argument for coercion of this seceding states is, you know, the Lincolns, let me move on a little bit with the Lincolns themselves. This is something else that was a stark revelation to me. The Lincoln may be voted the most beloved president of all time, but I'm going to tell you straight, this is the most dysfunctional family, first family in American history. Abe himself, and this was what a lot of folks talk about, was himself very crude, coarse, clumsy. He was a rustic. He was one of these guys, if he didn't have a handkerchief available, would blow his nose with his fingers. People were shocked when they came into the Oval Office, and he spent some of his time talking about what were called smutty jokes. And I've seen some of these jokes, and believe me, they're smutty even today. He had a ribald nature. I won't even get close to some of the jokes he told. And Mary, I wish they'd do a Mary by far was the worst first lady in American history. Nothing, no one even comes close to Mary. I cannot think of any other woman worse than her. She actually saw herself as the queen. Now, Mary had been in D.C. when Lincoln was a congressman, and she had suffered like other wives of congressmen. She was, second fiddle in the line of receptions. She was not a senator's wife, certainly not a president's wife, and she suffered those arrows, and she took them to heart so that when she finally came back as the president's wife, as the first lady, she was determined to lord it over everyone, and trust me, she did. Folks lived in fear of her pathological tongue lashings. In public, she was given to basically upbraiding anyone and everyone who displeased her. That's all the way up to General Ulysses S. Grant's wife, Julia Dent Grant. By that time, by the end of the war, Grant was probably even more popular than Lincoln, but Julia made the mistake of sitting down before Mary Todd Lincoln, and Mary said, "How dare you sit down before me in public, in front of folks?" That's what I'm talking about. This is what kind of nut job this woman is. Mary was a joke. She was very much like her husband. She was pathetic. She had a very shallow intellect. She was superficial. She was shallow. She was vain. She was pompous. She was pretentious. She was portly. She, as I mentioned, her temper tantrums were legendary. Everyone lived in fear of Mary Todd Lincoln, her satanic majesty. That's what she was called behind her back. Lincoln's advisors just despised her.
Wasn't she also on drugs?
That's what I've heard. I don't have anything on that. I don't doubt it. She was into seances, I can tell you that, which is pretty spooky material. So she had it all. Mary Todd had it all. All the head problems, all the issues. She was clearly off her nut, Their children were not much better, as you can imagine, being raised in a family like this. Tad, especially, he was nothing but a monster, a spoiled brat. Let me give you an example of this. Mary had called Abe in to supper one evening as Lincoln was enjoying a checker game with a friend in the office, and she sent Tad in to get him, and she told him, "Don't come back without your paw." So when Abe said, "I'll be in there by and by as soon as we finish this checker game," well, Tad said, "Now," and then he kicked the checker table right on the floor. Now, I'm going to tell you what, in any other household in America at that time, that kind of reaction from Tad would have drawn five or six strokes well laid on. But Lincoln just simply had that sheepish smile on his face and says, "Well, I guess I better go to eat." That's what I'm talking about, the total dysfunction. I don't know what Spielberg has done with them. I'm sure he's
cleaned them up quite a lot, probably.
Probably elevated them to Christ-like status. But these are the real Lincolns I'm getting to right now. And these aren't my words. It's not my hopes. This is what the folks around them told me in the research for this book. Again, I'm a slave to my sources. Maybe all these people had it in for Lincoln. Maybe all these people hated Mary. But I'm saying they didn't. These are people close to Lincoln. People who actually loved him are telling me these stories, and that's where I'm going with the book. And, you know, back to Lincoln and the assassination, which is what the story, The Darkest Dawn, is mostly about, even though I love painting these character portraits. Lincoln, like I said, he's the most popular man now in our history, most popular president. But prior to winning that war, he was the most hated American president and the most feared. But after the victory of Appomattox and the surrender of Confederate forces, people realized that all the criticism, we're calling him a buffoon and an ugly ape and names they used to call him, they realized that they had been wrong, that Lincoln did win this war. Despite everything they had said about him, it was hopeless that he had won, and so people were fell generally in love with Lincoln, many of them, as soon as the war was won. But then, of course, came Ford's Theater and the bullet that ended Lincoln's life. History books would have you believe that everyone wept when Lincoln was killed, that the world wept for Lincoln. Well, it's not true. The South was elated, of course. The South, who had been the victim of his aggression, people on a railroad train in Georgia, when they heard the news, the train exploded with shouts and hurrahs and laughter, and they thought, perhaps maybe we can still pull this out. They were glad the tyrant was dead, this monster who had killed their sons and fathers. Over in Texas, a group of Southerners still full of fight, they held a mock funeral for old King Ape, A-P-E, old King Ape, as they said, had champagne and beer, and they were elated that Lincoln was dead. And even in the North, we can go into this quite a bit if you'd like, but even in the North, people were elated that Lincoln was dead. Many Republicans were sad, of course, that Lincoln died, but many Democrats were elated that this tyrant, this usurper of the Constitution, was dead. In fact, in sometimes entire communities celebrated. Up in Indiana, a group of folks were celebrating his death. Out in California, a whole town turned out to celebrate Lincoln's death.
Didn't that death really make him a martyr?
Yes, it did.
And it also helped him to avoid answering some really tough questions about why in the heck it took 700,000 people to get the Union back together when some negotiations could have done it.
You know your history, Deanna. Obviously, you learned it after high school because we didn't learn any of this stuff then. But you're right. Yes, he became a martyr. In fact, in the rush to elevate him to sainthood status, all of his transgressions and all of his failings and foibles were conveniently forgotten. That's what happens when you become a martyr. You just slide right on by the messy part and think about only the great things and even embellish and exaggerate and lie about the great things. And that's what's happened to Lincoln to this very day. Yeah, he's one of the saints in the modern pantheon. But, you know, the book, this book, rightly or wrongly, has been called the best book ever on the Lincoln assassination. That's saying quite a bit. And a lot of people, including the Washington Times, have said this. And the reason it is, I think, is because I take people places they have never been before in the Lincoln assassination. Hundreds of books have been written on it, by the way, and, of course, quite a few movies and documentaries. But it's what I'm going to say next that really catches people's attention. And
hey, maybe you should send your manuscript to Spielberg.
Yeah, right. Okay, fine. I prefer to send Hellstorm. That's the one. That's the game changer. If he'd make a movie on that, and an accurate movie, then a lot of our problems on Earth are going to cease and desist, because you know the story of the Hellstorm book. He would take that no quicker than he would take this Lincoln book. But I hesitate to begin on this because I don't know if we have enough time, because what I'm going to say is kind of, it will be kind of shocking to people. It's certainly a revelation. Anyway, I can begin if you'd like.
Yes, do.
As I mentioned, Lincoln had done a lot of bad things in the 4 years that he was president. When he was killed, however, something occurred in America that had prior to that only occurred in France. During the French Revolution, it was called the Terror. Lincoln's assassination started an American terror. Most folks in the North were unhappy, sad that Lincoln was killed. And yet there was still a sizable percentage of people who despised him, was glad he was dead. I'm talking about the North, not the South. Moments after the word reached a hotel lobby in D.C. itself from Ford's Theater that Lincoln had been shot at Ford's Theater, some fellow heard the news, slapped his thigh, and said, "Good, that's the best damn news I've heard in a long time." Now, that may have ventilated for this fellow. He may have been able to release a lot of pent-up hatred when he said that and shouted it to the rest of the hotel folks. But it just so happens there was an officer, a Yankee officer, standing nearby who heard the words, walked up to the guy, pulled out his revolver, and blew the guy's brains all over the wall.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's the first account I have of the purge I'm talking about. And from there, it really went crazy. The next morning, passengers on the Brooklyn Ferry, as they're crossing over to New York, a fellow heard the news and made a similar comment of the D.C. Gentleman. And passengers threw him overboard, and he was killed by the paddle wheels as they came around and struck him in the head. And this kind of stuff went on and kept growing and growing throughout America, all the way from Bangor, Maine, down to Los Angeles, California. People went crazy. They thought about the neighbors. They had heard the anti-Lincoln comments, and they paid calls on them. Sometimes they were drug out, killed right on the street, 15 bullet holes in some people. Other times, like a woman in Iowa, near Des Moines. She had been known to be an anti-Lincoln Democrat. The ladies' committee went to her home, drug her out of her sick bed, off her sick bed, forced her around the town to wave an American flag, and when her 13-year-old daughter interceded to try to get her mother back to safety, they beat her bloody. And this is the type of purge I'm talking about that went on throughout the nation. For the next 2 weeks, two guys fishing up in Connecticut, on a Connecticut River, one of them made a similar comment to the other people. The other fisherman beat the hell out of him, tied him to a tree, and left him there to starve to death. Riots took place, for instance, in Cincinnati, riots against the Democrats in that town. For 3 days, the folks in Cincinnati held the streets as they killed people, as they tore up millions of dollars in property damage. Out in San Francisco, five newspapers were gutted, five Democratic newspapers, after the word reached there of the assassination. Now, this went on for about 2 weeks.
This seems kind of strange. Now, weren't the civil authorities exercising some sort of control did they just allow this to happen?
Very little. And I think there's lessons for we today, too. Every time something like a 9/11 happens, it's best to keep your mouth shut. But I know where you're going with that. Very little. Now, when they started burning down buildings and cities, that's where the city government started coming out in force with the cops. But generally, they stood by and watched as this occurred.
That is very bizarre to me that they would just allow this to occur.
It's the climate of the times. Let's keep in mind that most in the North had thought, with the Appomattox and with Robert E. Lee's surrender, that the war was over. Finally, I'm not going to get killed, or my son, or my husband. They were elated when the war, they thought, was over. When Lincoln was killed, a majority of them thought the war is going to go on. This was an attempt by the South to keep the war going. It would continue. So they're not only shocked and saddened, but now they're outraged. When they think that this John Wilkes Booth, by killing Lincoln, is going to make the war continue, now they're going to take out their neighbors. They're so PO'd at what is it? It's understanding human nature and human psychology.
The South didn't want the war to begin with. Why would they assume that the South was trying to prolong it?
It's confusion. It's like 9/11. It's the fog of war thing. We don't know a lot about 9/11 until right now. Let's face it. When 9/11 popped, I was down in South Carolina, camped out, actually. So I didn't see newspapers or see a TV even for 3 days. But I did listen to the radio, and as it was happening, I was listening to NPR, I think, there was talk of poison gas coming out of the gutters of New York City. There was talk about slaughter and murder, people being killed in the streets. And that didn't happen. We know that. But that's what I was hearing. Do you see what I'm saying? These folks were even in a greater fog back then than we are now. They didn't have radio or TV. They had word of mouth. And as we know, rumors grow incrementally.
Right. All righty. We are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back with our guest today, Thomas Goodrich.
More than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the 5-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of numerous books, including The Darkest Dawn, Lincoln Booth, and The Great American Tragedy, which was published in 2006. And Joe, one of our listeners, just shared a joke. Let me just read it to you real quick. Lincoln was out one day, and an old woman said to him, "Sir, you are the ugliest man I have ever seen." Lincoln replied, "Yes, ma'am, I know, but I can't help it." And the old lady responded, "Well, sir, you could at least stay home." Okay.
Yeah, that may have been a joke at the time also. It sounds almost of the period. Lincoln made fun of himself, and that's another thing we loved about Lincoln was that, yeah, he joked about himself. And anybody who can do that, our hearts tend to go out to. And before we get off Lincoln and move on to the Indian Wars, I'd like to get this in about the Lincoln funeral train. I don't know if people realize it, but there was an almost Egyptian funeral held, Egyptian in proportion, that is, a funeral held for Lincoln after his assassination. And his body was carried on a train, the same train that brought him to D.C. 4 years previous to become president. But the folks who put the funeral on, this funeral across America, hoped to make it a grand affair, of course, something solemn and just befitting the president himself. But it was very poorly planned because, let's face it, there wasn't much time, and they didn't have the quick communications that we do today. So, but anyway, this thing was incredible. It left D.C. and went to Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York, Albany, Cleveland. All along the way, it stopped. His body was taken off the train and placed in, the city hall. And folks, for roughly 24 hours, 48 hours, could walk by and pay their last tribute to Lincoln. And nothing like this has ever happened in America before. At the time, there were roughly 20 million people in the North, and it's estimated, I estimate, that at least half of them saw either the train or the body or attended the funeral itself. That's 10 million Americans that's half the population. That's how great this thing was. But again, like I said, it was very poorly planned. At Philadelphia, its first real major stop, hundreds of thousands, I think it was 1.5 million, an estimate, came to Independence Hall to see Lincoln. And as you can imagine, anybody who's been there's no place to put that many folks. In fact, they were jammed in. They could not have been jammed anymore had they been made of brick and mortar. That's how closed in they were. Ladies showed up with these fancy parasols and their extravagant hoop skirts and their hair tied up. And, of course, the men showed up in their finest. And they're packed in like sardines, and suddenly the ladies' dresses start breaking up and falling to the ground. Their hair comes unpinned. People are screaming. Children are crying to be let out of this mob scene. Children are actually put up on by the hands of people and carried across this almost solid rank of people, hundreds of thousands. And unfortunately, as people tried to enter Liberty Hall, there was a choke point they had to pass through. And I'll continue that after we come back.
All righty. We'll be back after our 60-second top-of-the-hour break. Be right back.